Well, hey, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today.
Good morning.
Well, hey, we're continuing our series called The Art of Being Unordinary. The fact that when we look at scriptures, God has not called us to live an ordinary life or an unexceptional life, but to live the abundant, exceptional life that he has for us. If you remember our series, Big Idea, is that if you want what ordinary people have, you do what ordinary people do. Just go with the flow. Do what culture does. But if you want what few people have, you've got to do what few people do. And I think that there's nothing that threatens our an ordinary life like what we do with our personal finances. In fact, let me illustrate this morning what I'm talking about. The average household in the United States is now 220%. Their debt ratio is 220% compared to their average household income. What that looks like is if you make $60,000 in a year, your debt is $132,000. And so our debt-to-income ratio is just out of this world. The average person today in the United States has $34,371 in personal consumer debt, and that's not including home mortgages. And what most people are saying is, in fact, they did a study, 10% of people were saying that they will never be able to pay off their debt in their lifetime. And so what this is doing to us is it's deeply profounding our health, our relationships. In fact, there's been studies that show a direct correlation to the amount of debt that you have to how your personal fitness and your health is. 72% of people today say that their debt causes significant stress in their life. They're seeing in studies showing that migraines are up, depression is up, they're seeing blood pressure is up, all because of debt. And not only that, it affects our marriage relationships. University of Michigan did a study that showed that money is the number one cause of conflict today in relationships. Utah State did a study at their university that said that arguments about money are the number one indicator of a health in a relationship today. Another study showed that money fights are the second leading cause of divorce, right behind infidelity. I mean, all of these things showing us ordinary is not working, is it? Ordinary is not working. Now, the truth is that if you've ever made a mistake with money, that makes you over 12 years old. Because the truth is that everybody has made a mistake with money. And so today, a lot of times, there's a lot of shame or guilt or cynicism around the subject of money. And so I just want to let you know this morning, because we serve Jesus, and Jesus says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, condemnation's not involved. That we're not going to lead with that. What I want to do this morning is just simply give us some practical tools for managing money that will lead us to the unordinary life that God is calling us to do. Because if you want what ordinary people have, you do what they do. But if you want what few people have, then you've got to learn some principles and apply some tools to your life so you can experience that. Now, just an interesting fact, Jesus spoke more about money than he did faith, prayer, heaven, and hell combined. He talked about money more than any of those subjects. And the reason that Jesus talked so much about money, a reason that we see it mentioned so oftentimes in Scripture, is not because God cares about money, right? He has it all. He doesn't need your money. The reason he talks about it so much in Scriptures is because your wallet is connected to your heart. In fact, one of the most visible measurements of the condition of your heart is your money. And so if we want our hearts to be right, then our behaviors around money also need to be right. And so here's the thought for this morning. If you're taking notes, that if our goal is to be unordinary, then we need to understand, here it is, that our financial behaviors either create possibilities or problems. They create possibilities or problems. And it's our behavior patterns that create these possibilities or problems. What you do creates where you go. And if that's the case, and behaviors cause our financial situations, by and large, with rare exceptions, then unordinary behaviors create unordinary finances. If you want to be financially strong, you've got to learn unordinary behaviors, because ordinary is not working today. So let me give you five core principles this morning that will lead us to unordinary behaviors that will lead to unordinary results. Here's number one if you're taking notes. Number one is we've got to create a written game plan. What we're talking about is the B word. That's a budget. Got to have a budget. Proverbs chapter 21, 5 says, the plans of the diligent, what do they lead to? Say it out loud. They lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now, here's the deal. You can wander into debt, but you cannot wander out of debt. You've got to have a plan. You got to write it down on paper. You've got to do it on purpose. Now, here's the problem is that most people live their personal financial lives with no plan. As a result, there's no positive direction. But a budget is a plan with a purpose. It's a plan with a purpose. And so what we're going to do with the budget is we're going to give it careful consideration. We're going to give careful time to this, figure out what God is calling us to do. And I think a lot of very successful people, a lot of people that really are wise financial stewards, they do a budget every single month. They spend every single dollar on paper before the month begins. And that is an unordinary habit that leads to an unordinary result. Here's number two. Principle number two is we have to learn to act our wage. We've got to learn to act our wage. What we're talking about is learning to live on less than what we make. Now, the title of the sermon, anybody know what the title of the sermon is this morning? Just shout it out. Now, you may look at that sermon title and be like, Pastor, you're reaching this morning, but let me just tell you, in fact, should we just play it for him? Let's just do it. Go ahead and play that song.
I should grow up someday, cause I got bills to pay. I can't be waking up at someone else's place. I know I drink too much, can't pay my rent this month. I should be saving up, but I just got paid. I'm broke, but I'm balling.
All right, that's good. That's good. I just got paid. I'm broke, but I'm balling, okay? So here's the deal. Listen to this. Listen, this is important. You are not the U.S. Congress, so you can only spend what you make, okay? All right, Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools, what do? They say, I'm broke, but I'm ballin', right? They spend whatever they get. Now, it says that fools spend whatever they get. Let me just tell you the Hebrew word for fool. It's not a good word. You don't want that said about you. Fool, it means stupid. So not a great word, and I will tell you that I've been stupid before. I've devoured all that I've had before, and so by definition, there have been points in my life that I have been a biblical fool. Just as an example, sometimes I get foolish when we have a budget, but then I get hungry, and we don't have any food in the refrigerator, and we're like, Chick-fil-A, maybe? Sometimes I get foolish when we've got a budget and we go to the mall, which is a bad plan anyway. We go to the mall, we see something we like. We're like, what budget? Come on, what budget? It just doesn't work sometimes. Now, if you do something foolish with money, it usually costs you money, right? The money leaves, you don't get it back. That's called a stupid tax. Okay, it's just a stupid tax. And stupid tax doesn't move you forward. It's not done with intentionality. It leaves you with less, with no return. But we're going to learn to act our wage, which may be tough if we have friends that pay high taxes and stupid taxes. Because sociologically speaking, we're the sum total of our five closest friends. And so if we've got people, we're just naturally going to want to slip into that. So if they got a boat, I want a boat. If they got a new car, I want a new car. If they go on vacation, I want to go on vacation. When the reality is most people are just paying high, stupid taxes. It's not working very well. But we're going to remind ourselves that we don't want what's ordinary because ordinary isn't working. We don't want to be foolish, which leads to stress, which affects our health, and money fights, which affects our relationships. We want to work on our retirement because most people, their retirement plan is just a misguided hope that the government will one day take care of them when the government is really known for taking great care of their own money, right? And so we don't want to do that. That's not a good plan. So number one, we're going to create a plan. Number two, we're going to act our wage. Number three is we're going to save money. We're going to save money. Again, Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Now, there's There's three things that we're going to save for. The first thing that we're going to save for is an emergency fund. That's a rainy day fund. Something doesn't go well. You get an unexpected bill. Somebody gets laid off of work. You need a rainy day fund because it's going to rain. Now, you may say, Pastor Justin, you need to be positive. All right, let me be positive. It's going to rain, and you got to have a plan. You can't just say, well, we're just going to believe for the best. It's not going to work. You've got to have a rainy day fund. Because here's the truth is that if you lose your job, but you have no debt and you've got $20,000 saved in the bank cash, it's a whole lot different how it's going to affect you than if you get laid off of work and you've got all sorts of debt and you've got no money in the bank. It changes how you come home. And so what we're going to do is our goal is to have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. That's a fully funded emergency fund. The second thing that we're going to save up for is we're going to save up and we're going to pay cash for things that we want. And we're going to pay cash for two reasons. Number one is that cash hurts when you spend it. It just hurts. So if you've got a $100 bill or you got a $20 bill and it's in your wallet, and that thing, it becomes like family. It's like Uncle Ben. Hey, that's Uncle Abe, and it's in your pocket. You don't want to get it. You don't want to put Uncle Ben up for up for adoption. You want to save it. You want to keep it. In fact, MIT did this study. It was published in Carnegie Mellon magazine, and they found out that when you spend cash, it actually highlights the pain centers in your brain. Right, but you know what happens when you slide a card, plastic? Nothing. It's just flatlined. And so when you pay cash, it hurts more. You're going to spend less, and so we're going to pay with cash. Another reason we're going to pay with cash is when you pay with cash, you can often get a better deal on things. In fact, I've got a friend that took this to an extreme. Everywhere that he went, he would start the conversation with, "Can I get a discount if I pay with cash?" And he found the most unusual things is usually people would say yes. He was at BJ's restaurant, and he looked at the waitress and say, "Hey, can I get a discount or some of my meal comped if I pay with cash?" And she looked at him, and she's like, "Sure, why not?" And gave him a discount. Sometimes it works. Now, the third thing that we're going to save for is we're going to save for the future. Now, just as an illustration, did you know that if you saved $100 a month from the time you're 30 years old to the time you're 70 years old, may not apply to you in your age range, but this is an example, $100 a month, for some of you, that's Starbucks, or that's a couple rounds of golf, or going out to eat a couple times, $100 a month from age 30 to 70 in a Roth IRA, in a decent growth stock mutual fund, that at the end of that time, you'll have $1,176,000. That's $100 a month. And the truth is, because so many times people aren't intentional with their finances, most people don't even know where $100 goes in a month. They spend it just on miscellaneous things, and there's no plan with it. See, Proverbs 21:20, let me just read it one more time. It says, "The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get." Here's number four. Principle number four is that we've got to get out of debt. Get out of debt. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The poor are always ruled over by the rich, so don't borrow and put yourself under their power." Because the truth is that when we have consumer debt, when we have debt of convenience, we give somebody else control over our lives. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, because as I'm preparing this message, Sarah and I are in the midst of, we're trying to wrestle with, it's time to get a new car. The Explorer, we can't take it very far. Sarah's car, we've outgrown it, and so what are we going to do? We need a new car. And so this is really hard for us right now because we're trying to live these principles. I'm riding the struggle bus, though. I'm having a hard time with this because we are, at this point, we're debt-free. We've got a fully funded emergency fund. We pay with cash. We live by a budget. But this is really hard because we need a new car, and we don't have enough money for a new car. So what are we going to do? The reason I mention that is because it's really difficult to apply these things because there's always going to be pressures to break these principles. But it's these principles that are unordinary which leads to an unordinary life. And the truth is that when you look at scriptures, there's not a single positive mention in the scriptures about debt. It's always negative. It's always framed in the kind of language of slavery. That when we're in debt, we give power to somebody else over our lives. And oftentimes, we don't say it like that, but we say things like, you know, I'd love to get married to my girlfriend, but we can't afford it. Or we'd love to start a family or have another child or adopt a child, but we're not able to do that right now. Or we've always rented and it's our dream to buy a home, but we can't afford it. Or I hate my job, I can't stand it, I feel called somewhere else, but we have all of these bills to pay and we can't do it. Or man, I would love to help people and I'd love to serve people and come alongside of people, but I can't afford to do it. But if you create a plan and you live within your means and you save, man, can you imagine how that would feel? I mean, what would it feel like to have no car payment? What would it feel like to have no credit card payment? What would it feel like? It feels like freedom, doesn't it? It feels like freedom. And think about how that resonates with your spirit. There was a study done, interview with the Forbes 400. That's the wealthiest 400 people in North America, and they were asked this question. They said, what's the number one way to become wealthy? And 75% of them, when they surveyed, these are the wealthiest people. This is not your broke brother-in-law giving you his advice. These are people that have applied this, and they said this. Here's the number one way. You get out of debt, and you stay out of debt, because your personal income is your most powerful wealth-building tool. See, when you're out of debt, you've got the freedom to do more and to give more and share more. Powerful. Fifth one is this. This is the last one. Principle number five. And this one is the most fun of all, is to give generously. Give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:7 is you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I love that word cheerful in the Greek language. It's the word hilaros, which is where we get the word hilarious. Which is just when you give in response to what God is prompting you to do, it is so much fun. I don't know if many of you gave sacrificially to our Generosity Sunday in December. We planted a church. We rescued children and women out of sexual slavery. We were able to help over 40 families in our community with disaster relief. That was fun. That was so great. I remember reading this a while back ago, but several years ago, there was a group of people that were going around the country just giving exorbitant tips. And I just got a couple examples for you. This guy had almost a $3,000 bill, left a $10,000 tip. Let's look at the next one. This person had a $90 bill, left a $3,000 tip. And on each of these receipts, they were leaving their Instagram handle, Tips for Jesus. Man, how fun would it be just to bless people? I mean, it's just so fun to be in a place where you can bless people with no strings attached. I just want to, man, it's so great. I think it just automatically happens. When we plan and we get out of debt and we've got money to save, there's nothing else to do with it except for to give and to bless people. And man, as followers of Jesus, tithing is a principle we see, but that's just a basic thing. That's just a thing with saying, God, I put you first in this. It's a different way of looking at things. But man, if you could get to a place where you go to IHOP and get a $4 breakfast and you leave a $100 tip, and you just bless some people all over the place, you can leave that handle too, Tips for Jesus. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a written plan. We're going to act our wage. We're going to save, and we're going to stay out of debt. And really, most of all, we're going to give like nobody else. And all along the way, we're going to be giving, but the more that we get, the more that God entrusts to us, the more that we're going to give. And not only can you completely rock somebody else's world, but you can change your family tree. And so the goal is for us is to be unordinary. Our behaviors either create money problems or they create money possibilities. Wise stewardship is unordinary, so we're going to engage in unordinary behaviors to create unordinary results. Excellent behaviors create excellent results. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Let's pray.